for the phone. Extension cord. Don't you fall on it. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now call the board back in session. We're going to have, we'll have the rebuttal, as I said when I left, and I'll start with the opposition. And there will be questions that will come from the board. They'll be asking them, and when you address the board only. Okay? That way, then we'll allow each side. So, who would like to come up, please?
You can go right. You've already been sworn in. Just identify yourselves when you speak, please.
Again, this is for the purpose of the questions that come from the board, so please address the board and not the...
Absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Mills, would you like to start, please?
Let Mr. Rickards start.
Mr. Rickards.
You've heard the opposition, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure you made notes.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to start you off by saying to address these notes that I've thought of, and then you can add to it. First of all, you told me there was told this board there's never any woman allowed there. Now, they said they've seen women come and go. And they've seen women sitting there on the front porch, okay? You said there's no alcohol and a beverage allowed on the premises. There's been testimony that the opposition said they've seen people sitting there drinking beer on the front, right on the front lawn.
Okay.
And then there's been people that say they see them take the beer or they see the occupants in the woods drinking beer, okay, and then walking back to, what is it, 220, is it?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah, 220. And then leaving 220 and going other places around there, which I got the impression they were there from your testimony that they were there like 24/7 all the time. Well, in other words, they would leave for work or they would leave to go to the church or somewhere. Now, the testimony from the opposition is saying they're all over the neighborhood almost, you know, walking here, going here. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, I guess, but that's not what you would testify to. The other portion of the opposition is that they, in fear for their children and the new people that are in there. And I'd like you to address those for me,
okay?
And then any others that you feel that you've been taking notes on, okay, to answer that I haven't, that I've forgotten from, okay?
Okay.
Let's start with the female.
There may be I know one person has a sister who drops him off and picks him up, but women don't go in the house. Could a female drop someone off and pick someone up? Sure. Now, we just had a new guy come into the house 3 weeks ago. Okay, he's an Iraqi war vet and a really good guy. He was brought down here by a woman from Newcastle County. She came into the house and took a look at the house. That's not a visitor. That was somebody giving a ride to a new person. We were all present. She walked into the house.
So let me stop you there. Yep. You've heard the opposition.
And I have.
It gave me the impression, and I imagine some of my colleagues, that there was women just coming there once in a while at any time. And no?
No, there's not.
Okay. All
right. I can come up here and say anything I want to say.
Sure.
Sure. So.
I would answer that question.
No problem. I would request. I would.
Can I ask,
please.
if you're not there, if someone's not there, majority of the time, how do you know there's not?
I was going to say, how do you know that?
Well, I would count on the men in the house who were on probation and will go to jail to rat that person out immediately.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What type of, one of the concerns was a criminal element being in the home. And, criminal can mean many different things, and And I think that their main concern was, and I'm not going to speak for them, but in criminal element, I think I heard your testimony earlier that some were on probation, which means they may not have ever been arrested for anything. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the ones that had been typically were for
drug crimes.
Drug crimes. Sure. Okay. But not necessarily other crimes.
That's correct.
Rape or whatever. Okay.
No, with the new laws, if there was a rapist in the house, everyone would know.
Okay.
All the neighbors would have their doors knocked upon.
But you do have felons?
Yes.
Because of the drugs?
Correct.
Okay, that's a felony. I believe that's a felony charge, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's misdemeanor and felony occasionally.
DUIs,
absolutely.
That would be
multiple
another
DUI
felony.
Offenders on felonies, yes.
There are felonies. So you do have felonies.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
That are being turned around in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You had testified that they're at any time they can be tested.
That's correct.
Do you test?
Yes.
How frequently, randomly?
It would depend on those who are on probation or under drug court, and Judge Graves are tested by the government 3 times a week, so maybe not often.
Okay.
Those who are not, on a regular basis, once a week, once every 2 weeks, as needed. See, drug addicts and alcoholics can't fool fellow drug addicts and alcoholics.
Right.
Behaviors change. All of a sudden, they're somewhere they never were before, and we get a call, and a drug test is given.
Okay.
And sometimes it is a positive. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that there have not been men in this house who have decided to drink a beer, but I can tell you that when it was found out the next day, they were gone. So I can't stand here and tell you that somebody didn't walk to the liquor store down the street and buy alcohol. We've had turnover. We've had men who were immediately evicted. It happens.
Right.
I can say that path is to the bus stop and to the stores, and neighborhood kids from all the neighborhoods use it. I can tell you that right next door is the American Legion in the bar, and people come flying out of there drunk all the time. It's not men from our house. You know, I would address the committee, and I would say, we got all the three neighbors who have been there the longest, the gentleman who asked questions about what is the house, directly across the street, been there from the beginning. Across the street and next door, been there from the beginning. Strange that they're the three that aren't here. But further down, where, how are you seeing the direct neighbors? They're not here tonight. And this gentleman right next door with the pool has even testified that he's had no problems with any of the men in the house. He has questions about the house. And I was the gentleman that had the discussion with him as to try to answer some of those questions.
They have a fear.
Of course.
Can you address the fear? I mean, you're in this business. Address the fear and let us all know what not to be afraid of. What is keeping this under wrap if you're not, Mr. Mills say you're not there. So what is key? You say they're policing themselves?
In recovery,
are they capable of doing that, you found, with these homes?
Yes. If there's sobriety in the house. To address the question of the men in the house right now, a year and a half sobriety, 6 months sobriety, 2 years sobriety. The four core members have that much sobriety amongst them. These are not.
If I was in there and Mr. Lank drank a beer and I called you, you would come immediately and.
Yes. Pack your stuff.
You're out of here.
Absolutely. Have to be. Because it's an alcoholic, Mr. Ricker. He's not going to stop at one beer.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying right. is, I know that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that that's how fast you react?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can't. These men would go to jail. They take it very serious. They're on probation. Probation officer shows up, someone's drinking in the house, and there's a beer can. Everybody goes to jail.
What about all this garbage in the backyard?
I had a question for that.
and all this.
Maybe there was a storm and the garbage got knocked over. I would like to ask the lady if the garbage was there 5 days later.
Well, what we heard testimony was is that today she had 70 beer cans in her yard. So.
Okay, but where did they come from?
Right.
It's really easy to say it was those drunks in the recovery house. That's the easy explanation for everything. It seems like most of these neighbors felt perfectly safe until someone came knocking on their door with a bunch of stuff that supposedly happened in the past year and a half, and now they're scared to death, and I understand that, and it's a shame. because I did make the invitation on the steps after the October meeting. Come on over to the house, meet the men, we'll have a barbecue.
That was the next question.
I offered that outside on those steps.
You did approach the neighbors and ask them if they were...
Outside on the steps, after this meeting, I went out and I was rebuffed by most, but a couple had a discussion afterwards. Yes, I said, we'll have a barbecue. Come on over and meet the men. These men are good men. I understand the fear, especially when people spread fear. I get it. But it's not the men at this house. They're not the ones putting the 70 beer cans. If they are, show me a picture. Do something. Don't just come up in front of this committee and blame these men for the crack house down the corner. I know it's there. We all know it's there. Do you ever know a crack addict? He's not going to occasionally walk over to that house and hide it. He's going to be blasted for days. And he is, you know, it's, there's teenagers all over the place. There was a drug overdose in another house. There's people, you know who you need to be afraid of? The people who are drinking and drugging in that development right now. I don't know who they are, but I can guarantee you they're there. There was a heroin overdose in another house not that long ago. That's who you need to be afraid of, because they're the ones that are robbing people. They're the ones that are hurting people, is the ones who are using. The sober ones, they just want to go to work and be left alone. That's all they're doing.
I asked that question, I believe I did, that has anyone seen anything different in the neighborhood? And what I meant was a person, you know, had too much to drink, or you can tell when somebody's on any kind of abuse.
And the answer was no.
Right.
Nobody's noticed anything.
No, I didn't see that. Or the thing was that they just saw him in the distance walking, you know, walking around.
If we were to go to the police authorities, not that we are, but I'm asking you, if we were to go to the authorities and ask for any arrest records from that residence, what would we find?
You would find zero.
Zero?
Yes, you would.
From all police agencies?
That's correct.
Local and
yep.
How about calls?
No.
No calls.
Not prior to it being a recovery home.
Okay.
When my daughter-in-law lived there, there was police action. My daughter-in-law is now dead from an overdose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. How long ago was that?
She died a year ago, July, and she wasn't even living there.
Okay.
She had a stroke on the beach. And she died in Pennsylvania because they took her up there because she had been burnt on the beach. So, yes,
there wasn't an overdose there on that property.
No.
What happens with the men there is when they decide they want to use drugs or drink again, they leave because they know they can't do it in peace at the house. They just leave. We very rarely have to kick anyone out. And we usually catch them drunk the first time. Pack your stuff.
What about the cars? Okay, that's the other thing. Yeah. Pulling up into the driveway. And
I've never seen more than three cars.
Okay.
I've never seen more than three. I'm there many times. There might be one guy owned a car. Guy who just left the house. He's a success story. We have another one. He just left voluntarily on his own, doing great. Had a car. Bill and I sometimes show up with his car. That would be three cars in the driveway.
I show up.
Sometimes, yeah. But never more than in any other family house.
Right.
Sometimes a family's driveway has four or five cars in it because
sure.
There's a visitor.
Yes,
that's all you have here, too. Same as any other single-family house. I don't understand why that would be any different. Why can't a couple of visitors come over?
Right.
What are these men? These are not monsters. These are people. And to hear the baseless innuendo and the, well, I saw, really? Maybe they were smoking a cigarette outside because there's a smoking in the house. Maybe they were drinking a Red Bull. You ever see a Red Bull? It looks like a Coors Light. It's a big, thin, gray can. It's just, it hurts to hear these good men be grounded, like to be beat up like this in front of you baselessly.
So you're saying that if they don't have a chance here, they have a chance nowhere.
No, well, you know what they'll do? They'll go live under a bridge, get high, and rob somebody. Here they have hope, they have dignity, and they have jobs, and they stay sober, and they live the kind of lives we all want them to live. But if you take the house away, where are they going to live? Well, they'll rent a room in a crack house somewhere. That's an option available. there's shelters where there's drugs going around all over the place. And then they start using again, and then, you know what, Judge Graves sees them. And they get locked up again because they rob somebody or they burglarize somebody. The men in this house are not the ones to worry about. They're the sober ones.
Well, what is your background again?
My background.
Yes.
7.5 years sober. I speak from experience, yes.
Mr.
I know.
I've got a few questions, if I may. What are the qualifications for someone to become a resident in this house?
A minimum of 30 days.
Before they get in?
Correct. We will make exceptions if they come from a registered detox or treatment program. You cannot just come off to the street in detox. If you go to a registered program such as Meadowood or Kirkwood Detox, or you go to Dover Behavioral Health or any kind of rehab, we will make exceptions to the 30-day rule coming directly from there.
Are they diagnosed prior to with substance abuse of some sort?
Yes.
Okay. And do you keep a record of that?
No.
Do you require that be provided to you before someone moves in?
If they come from a detox or a rehab, we will see the paperwork, yes.
Okay.
Correct. Because they have to come directly from the treatment facility. That's another rule we have. You can't have your brother Joe pick you up at the treatment facility and then show up 12 hours later. That doesn't work. You got to be driven directly to
the
house.
Now, when someone has a relapse,
yes,
and they leave,
yes,
where do they go?
Unfortunately, I have no control over that.
Do you drive them anywhere? Do you take them out of the house? Where do they go?
How
does that process
usually
work?
Usually it's a bus stop to a shelter is usually what it is. Sometimes somebody will pick them up, but you have to leave immediately. You don't stay on the grounds, and we will call the police. There's a bus stop over there you chose to use. Hitch it. Get to the bus stop.
What is, you had mentioned there's, I guess, four core tenants. Is that right?
Right now we have
a
core four. That's correct. We had six. One has left voluntarily. He's got a full-time job. He's doing great. He chose to move to the next phase of his life. We have another one that's been with us a couple of weeks, and then we have a core four. Out of that core four, I said 5 months is the shortest sobriety. The other three are over a year.
And, you know, are you hopeful that, you know, if you had to, that they would be long-term tenants there?
I'm hopeful, yes. We ask for plans. You know, what is your plan?
So your testimony before is that you've had 15 to 20 people there the last year. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you've had four that have generally been the steady core four, so to speak, you've had fairly high turnover within those last one or two spots. Is that right?
Well, these four haven't been with – one of them's been 6 months, been with us. Another's been with us 5 months. They had sobriety before they came to us. A few of them had sobriety before they came to us. They just need a safe, sober living environment in a nice, quiet place. There have been, we had a guy come in on a Corinthian house, referred him. Gave him 2 days, didn't like the way he was litten. The guys in the house voted him out, said, go away. They don't want anyone in that house. And this guy was sober. He just wasn't talking about the right thing. You know what I mean? He wasn't talking about rebuilding his life and going to meetings and getting a sponsor. He was talking about the old neighborhoods he used to go to. And the guy said, I don't want that talk around. And he was in the house for 2 days and see you later. He didn't relapse, but he got voted out.
So of those 15 to 20,
mm-hmm,
would you say a majority were because they didn't fit the bill and were out of there?
I would say.
I think that's what you were trying to.
I would say maybe 10 relapsers. Out of that, five that just left, I think they left to relapse, but not while they were in the house. They just left.
Okay.
And you can tell when a man's ready to leave because he wants to drink. Can't do it at the house. So it comes up.
He has a choice.
You want to drink, you can leave and then go drink. It's not my problem anymore.
There was another concern.
Mm-hmm.
Checks and balances. Let's get to the... They were saying, what happens to this money? Okay, what do you wipe it out when it's there? Are you zero balance everything? You're not non-profit. You're not being subsidized by anybody. The gentleman wanted to know.
We're generally
in
the negative.
Pardon me?
We're generally in the negative.
Is that right?
Because because the house has to operate when there's only two or three men, and I told you it needs six.
Right.
Well, so the bills, rent still needs to be paid, gas still needs to be paid, electric needs to be paid, and we might only have two or three men. So the church will loan, I guess, is the best way.
The church keeps the books?
Yeah, there's a separate bank account for the house as a ministry.
So they take care of it.
Correct. Correct, and then generally runs at a negative, but there will be assistance at different times, and then we'll get six men in the house, and they'll all start working. We'll have a $600 surplus that month, so it'll go back towards the shortfall. And we raise money. I just spoke to the women of St. Peter's Episcopal in Lewis who contributed some money to the house. Because we get men that don't have jobs sometimes. They come out of shelters or rehab treatment centers, and they're from up north, and they want a new way of life, and they don't have a job. So we house them, we clothe them, we feed them, we take them around, we help them find work. Well, the bills still need to be paid. This is, nobody makes any money. It's good. It's just awesome to see, like that young man who came up here. We have, the house is full of men like him right now. They're really good people. That's what it hurts. It got me a little angry, you know, and a little hurt to hear. Because I know these men, and it's not them. Could we have had a guy in the house 6 months ago that bought some liquor at the liquor store and drank it in the woods? Yeah, it could have happened. But he was gone.
You would be a little angry at where you came from, and also the fact that you do understand the fear, and you do.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're never going to stop that unless you can really, what you're trying to do right now, trying to let people know there is no fear.
Nothing to be afraid of.
I want to address the children issue, and I know that sure. There is some young families, especially back on Sharon Drive. I have seven children in my home, and three of them are mine, four of them are grandchildren, and I'm raising them because they lost their mother. I don't have any concern, and I live at the entrance of John Burton. Mrs. Shepherd keeps saying, I don't live in the development. Well, I own two properties within the development. The one we're talking about, which is the 220, and the one right next to it, which is the 101 Stacy Drive, which my mother lives in. And then I live out on Legion Road. I connect to the property that we are talking about. Mm-hmm. The traffic from my children generally go across the back of this yard and down Sharon Drive, and they go down to the stores all the time, back where they say they see these kids and people going through the fence. Yes, I'm quite aware of it, and probably four of them are mine on their bicycles.
So the house you live in is adjacent to the property in question.
I see everything that happens
okay. Yep, adjacent. In
that property.
Okay.
And you have no fear for your children?
I do not. And my children are from 18 down to 1 year old. My granddaughter turned one Thanksgiving Day.
And the goings on at the house, gentlemen, and the people at the house, no one would have any fear if the fear wasn't being spread. It's nothing that happened at the house. It's not like a child got grabbed by somebody at the house, or somebody from the house was caught burglarizing somebody, or there's none of that. The police have never even been called. It's just baseless, and I understand somebody might just move in, and they don't know this. They don't know that this house has been there a year and a half with no problems.
So you've had zero calls, right?
Zero.
That's correct. Because I would be, other than the church, I would be the next one notified. And I keep an eye on it. I'm leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and I'm home by 2:15. I have work whenever there's work needs done within the home. I have the church's permission to go in and have the heater serviced, the air conditioned serviced. If there's a problem within the home, they notify me of it. I'm in and out of the home.
I don't have any more questions.
Okay. Any other? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Now, to the opposition, we need to address these questions. Where was the lady that had raised them? Is it you or who was the other lady? Yeah, but these questions you want us to ask, we want to address them. The board's got the answers. Who wants to come up here to get them, okay? So they get.
You can ask the board.
You can ask the board now.
Do I stand here?
You can sit right down there.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, because right now, I believe we're done with you all. We thank you. We're going to let this gentleman.
Well, the question, yeah, the questions I have, okay, when it was addressed at I was invited over for a barbecue and stuff. Well, the time for a barbecue, the time to meet and the time to find out what type of house was there and who was moving in and out would have been before you got it started.
So what's your question here?
My question is, why weren't we notified sooner about this being this type of house?
Okay.
You might have garnered more support from the neighborhood
ask
had
your,
people known.
Didn't ask your opinion. You asked your question.
Right.
So your question is, why weren't you...
Why weren't we notified before when it was first instituted or thought about?
Okay. Any other
evidence
questions?
You want evidence to that?
No. I want to know if you have other questions.
Yeah, I got other questions too.
Okay.
It said the police have never been called. Well, I pulled up one day with my wife in the car. Three or four probation officers were there. Going around the back of the house, got the hand on the gun. I went over. What's going on, man? They couldn't tell me because of privacy rules. I understand that. So there have been incidences that have happened like that. And a transient population, I don't know who's there. I've seen it change over the year. I don't know. I'm asking, where's the records of this? Where's the records of who goes and who comes and goes? Who's been a resident there? Why isn't records being kept? That's kind of the right thing to do, as far as I'm concerned. If nothing else, then there should be rent receipts.
But the church does that. We don't.
The church does it. The church is responsible. Who's responsible for the house? Is it the guys that are in recovery that are sponsoring these guys? Is it the church? Is it Mr. Ratliff? Who ultimately is responsible for the house?
I believe when the testimony was the explanation that was given was that Mr. Ratliff owns the house and is renting it to the church.
He's renting it to the church. So then, therefore, the church is responsible for this program. But they're telling us it's not a program.
Right.
Right. Am I correct in that?
Right.
Okay. So if it's not a program, why are we hearing all this stuff about these guys are in recovery, these guys are this, we sponsor and all that? As an adult, aren't you responsible for yourself? Okay, if it's a program and you're running a program there, then say it's a program and say we have this, but keep some records on it. They said that there was... when they're referred from a treatment facility,
mm-hmm.
There's records that are submitted mm-hmm. on the guys. What are the problems? Meadowood deals a lot with mental illness as well.
Day-to-day behavior, right?
Substance abuse, okay? So those records should be there. Are they in evidence? Were they presented?
Well, why would they want it as evidence unless there had been something committed?
Or evidence, I mean, well, you know, but... Show me what's going on. Who's in there? I can't address a transient population. I wave to the guys. I'm not heartless or cold or any of that, and I work with a lot of guys like this and women.
But you said you run a place like this. So did you give out all this information? If I come in, would you give all that information out?
No, you don't have to give it out. But you have to say that this is what it is. This is a program. Is it a program or is it not a program? Again, that's my question.
All right, but were you state funded? Federal funded? How were you funded on these programs you ran?
Some were federally funded.
Okay.
Yes. They came. The ones I worked with were federally funded through the VA. So I worked with a lot with up in Wilmington and then in Dover.
Well, my question is, when it's federally funded, which I'm aware of being federal
right.
too,
right.
you have to keep records.
Yes.
Right? But
exactly.
Now they're not funded then, right?
If they're not funded.
By federal or state? Or
by
county,
federal or state.
Then what's the requirement
but
for them to have?
The requirements are they're saying they're a recovery program.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're a recovery program, then you're not an apartment.
Okay.
You don't need a variance. Is that
I'm asking
correct?
For a variance.
We're trying
to get that. You've been.
I know. I'm stuck on that word.
I know.
I apologize to you for that. Okay?
So, Ben, I'm trying to get off the records. We got to go. They got to tell
what
you
is
there.
What is he applying for then? What is
special use exception.
I keep saying this over and over and over again. Now, let me read it one more time. We are here to decide whether to grant a special use exception. Which reads, the special use exception that you're seeking, that they're seeking, will or will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. Period.
That's it.
Okay. That's exactly what you have to convince us that it is your job here as the opposition is to convince us, this board, that it is going to affect the neighbor.
And even though it is your opinion that it will, we need to see some sort of hard evidence that it will.
Right. I understand that. I understand that.
Why John Burton Manor? Why John Burton Manor?
Excuse me?
Why is it in John Burton Manor?
Because it can be.
It can be?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He doesn't have to have a license or nothing.
No.
He
appeals before this board, and that's what there's chapter 115 of your ordinance throughout county code says you, if you want to start a home like this, you have to appear before the board and prove that a special use exception you're seeking
will not
affect the neighborhood. Okay?
Shouldn't he have done that a year ago, though?
Oh, my goodness.
Shouldn't he have done it the legal way?
But, ma'am, did you know this a year ago? Is this the first time that you brought this in?
He came here a year ago and tried to do this?
No. We both can't. Did you? Is this the first time you've been here about
this?
No, brother?
I was here about 6 weeks ago.
No, babe, you've been to the county before in the last year and a half about this place?
No, because I just found out I was trying to get it through Legislator Hall and Ruth Briggs King.
But does it count? Yeah, but okay.
County knew about it. County, yes.
You've been to this county, the planning zone, the director about it, and told him?
No, just by emails and calls.
So you went to the, but you went to Dover's, to the county. Their place is in the county. So my question is, you had never brought this to the attention of anybody until after you went to the legislature up to Dover, represented Ruth Briggs King, right?
Yes.
So now you're coming here to seek it because you didn't get nothing there. My question was, you've never done anything about this before, knowing it's been there.
Well,
correct?
I thought Ruth Briggs King, John Petty, John, all of them were going to.
We're in a phase of rebuttal, and we're only asking questions. So I'd just like to know what other questions they have.
What other questions? Yeah.
Well, I think it's a financial thing. If Mr. Radcliffe wasn't getting paid.
We want to know, do you have other questions?
Nothing.
Thank you.
See, the hard part for people to understand is you do have emotions. You've got to take your emotions out of it and address the special use exception. Bang, bang, bang. I keep saying this. Tell me why it's going to affect the neighborhood. Stick to that. And then we'll be able to help you. Just tell me why. Don't tell me they need to keep
books. Transient population. You don't get to know a transient population. Okay? When guys are constantly turning over. He said he had 20.
Sir, we just have a question, please. We can't keep going on this all night. I'm about to rebuttal. What's your question? Please ask the exact question you need to address it.
He wants to know why they weren't notified prior.
Why you wasn't notified? That's the only question you got.
That's
the only
wrong
question.
Why wasn't there?
We'll address
notified
that, sir. Okay, sir, this is it. This will be the last thing. Can you address that question, please?
I thought I had addressed this.
You did.
No. You did. But
you did.
Yeah, we, because.
Because you weren't aware that you needed.
First, yeah, we weren't aware that we needed
that
one.
That was your opening statement tonight, correct?
Correct. But once we found out.
You were in violation. You knew you were in violation. You came.
Filled out an application, right. Paid the fee.
And came here. Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the explanation. Thank you.
That was it. You gave us that at the beginning. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for hearing.
Okay. Any other questions for anybody? Mr. Sharp, do you have any further? Mr. Mills, any? Mr. Hudson? Mr. Rick?
No.
Hey, hearing no further questions.
No.
No, sir. I'm getting ready to.
It's simple and short, sir.
I asked a while ago. If I allow you, I'm going to have to allow everybody then.
No.
Pardon me, sir?
I've heard all the testimony I need to hear.
Yep. I've heard it all. I've heard it all.
We had the opportunity.
Yeah. Hey, you have your rules of procedure allow you to do that.
How's that, Mr. Sharp?
Your rules of procedure allow you to do that.
I've heard it. Yeah. Okay, hearing no further opposition, the chair is going to entertain a motion on case number 11,476.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table case number 11,476. There's a lot of testimony here that has been presented tonight. There's been a lot of correspondence that we need, I believe the board does also has to go over and look at. Didn't get a chance to look at the 27 of them tonight, that's for sure.
Right.
And I believe that we need to definitely look at and look at everything over that's been presented here tonight. I think believe both sides have expressed their concern and have done it very well, and we've kept the lid under of the emotions tonight. And
I've tried my best.
Thank you, and I believe the applicants have also, and the opposition. I know it's a tough case for us. So, with that, I make that motion that we.
To our next regular meeting?
Well, let's see. Yes, I guess that's the 15th. Is it?
That's December the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rickards.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Mills that we table case number 11,476 until our next regular meeting, which will be on December the 15th. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills.
Aye.
Mr. Hudson.
Aye.
Again, Mr. Rickards.
Aye.
And Mr. Calloway, aye. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 11,476 is tabled until our next meeting. That'll be on, again, December the 15th. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Next case, Mr. Lang.
Sir. And if you all could be quiet as you leave, we do have other business to conduct. Thank you.